Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Yisro Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our second installment of Chametz on Pesach. Based on what we discussed yesterday, it should be evident that essentially when we search for Chametz, we're doing so in fulfillment of a rabbinic obligation. In other words, we're going to be saying a bittul, we're going to sing the Kol Chamira formula. So that means the whole obligation to search for Chametz is of a rabbinic nature. That is going to manifest itself in numerous ways over these coming days, but just to keep it in mind. What I'd like to do a little bit today is go through some halachos of bedikas Chametz, so of searching for Chametz. So the most basic halacha is, what am I supposed to be searching for? So we know I'm looking for Chametz, but where am I supposed to be searching? So the way it's said in halacha is one has to search every makom shemachnisin bo chametz, a place in which chametz is brought. And here's the important caveat, and that means even if it's only occasionally brought there. So the question when a person is figuring out where they need to check for chametz, the question is not what are the five places that chametz are most commonly used in the house. It's not really the question. The question is, what are the places that it's conceivable that chametz could be brought? It's very interesting. An example given in the Mishnah Psachim is a martef, is a winery, the area that a person holds, stores their wine. And the rationale is that it could very well be that the attendant comes downstairs, comes to the wine storage area to get some wine during the meal, and he has some chametz with him while he's coming down. It's a very interesting thing to think about. Truth be told, many of us have rooms in our basement or wherever exactly it may be that we do store things for use during the meal. And it is very common for people to be coming downstairs or upstairs or whatever it is to get stuff during the meal. And they might, you know, have a cookie in their hand as they're doing it. And if that's so, if that's a reasonable assumption, then that halachically has a status as a makom shemachnisin bo chametz, a place that in which it's reasonable that chametz could come. Realistically speaking, those of us who have the, thank God, wonderful good fortune of young children regularly in our house, all bets are off. And the assumption is that any conceivable corner of the house is more or less a makom shemachnisin bo chametz. And that makes life interesting. But hey, if you have young children in your house in general, your life is probably interesting already. Now, another aspect of bedika that's good to realize is there's an obligation of searching not only one's home, not only one's office, by the way, it's whatever is one's work area, a person needs to definitely check there to make sure there's not chametz there. Maybe we'll talk at a later point in the series, practically speaking, when one could go about doing that. Certainly one needs to check there's not chametz in one's car. Any place that a person owns or a person uses, that there could be chametz of the person there, there's an obligation. But additionally, the community has an obligation to do bedikas chametz on shuls, on batei medrash, rooms of Torah study. The halacha is a bracha is made on that bedika. That bedika is supposed to be done bedika night. An interesting thing, though, the people who do that bedika would not say the bittul afterwards. Most of us, when we do a bedika, we say a bittul after we do the bedika. But the people, the gabbai, whoever is doing the bedika in the shul, would not say a bittul afterwards, because in order to say a bittul, presumably the chametz has to be yours to render it meaningless. And the person is checking that there's not chametz around, but he can't really render the chametz ownerless or meaningless because it's not his chametz in the first place. But other than that, the standard model of bedika applies to shuls and the like, and public areas that are managed by the community. An extremely important aspect of bedika is that a person needs to make sure that whatever chametz they found in the bedika is in a safe, secure location once the bedika is over. Maybe we'll talk a little bit later. It could be a big, big problem if when it's time to burn the chametz Erev Pesach morning, the person can't find the chametz that they found in the bedika. Because what that basically means is there are these pieces of chametz that are now totally unspoken for, possibly floating around the house. And that obviously runs directly counter to the whole purpose of having done the bedika in the first place. Once one has done the bedika, has done a thorough check of the house, I should emphasize that the bedika is actually supposed to be a check. The bedika is not merely a goal to find the 10 pieces that have been put out. It's an interesting question why we even put out the 10 pieces in the first place. The most basic answer is we make a bracha on the bedikah. The bracha is the beginning of the process of destroying chametz. We want it to be that the person will find some chametz so that the bracha is going on something, that there's some chametz the person is going to dispose of. There are also Kabbalistic reasons of putting out specifically 10. But the bottom line is the goal is not to find the 10 pieces. The goal is to search the house well. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.